We want to create, instead of having five aggregates controlled by delusion and karma, we want to create the five aggregates, really labeled aggregates, in the body of a Buddha. And what's so remarkable is we have that potential with these human aggregates to transform them. So our motivation is to begin to recognize what limits us in our different particular colors of the stories we tell ourselves, and our habits and our patterns. And we're sitting here to develop the ability to recognize them as they come up. And after they've been recognized, to have the knowledge and the wisdom to transform what would be a habitual reaction that creates more samsara to one that gets us out of samsara. That's called a virtuous activity. And it naturally will bring joy and release to others, because virtue, by definition, never harms anyone. So while we wait for them to come back, let's just rejoice in how wonderful it is, and have gratitude for everything that we have in this life that enables us to be here and practice Dharma. Being aware of the breath going in and the breath going out. So while we were waiting, we were just recollecting our motivation for being here and rejoicing and feeling gratitude for everything that allowed us to be here to study and practice the 7-point mind training. So we start our motivation by checking our posture and breathing. So we bring our awareness to the two sitting bones and the pelvic bone on the cushion, and feeling them being stable, and bringing the breath there and allowing the belly to expand and relax. Feeling the energy going down the arms and dark going down the legs with our exhale, sending any superfluous winds and their thoughts down into the earth, to the base of our spine. Imagining Lord Buddha in the space above us, with the Mother Prajnaparamita at his heart. She looks like Tara, pretty much. She's just yellow. I'll explain it later. And turning our mind towards enlightenment naturally brings their presence, their blessing. And as we breathe in, we can breathe in their blessing and filling our body with light and all the conditions we need for enlightenment. And as we exhale, we can let go of everything else. In the beginning, we just imagine it going down from the root chakra at the base of the spine. If you want to, you can visualize it as black smoke or not. To the very center of the earth where it's just burned up. When the mind is a bit more settled, we allow the breathing to move into the middle part and open up the kidney region and the middle part of the back and the back and the diaphragm expanding and lifting the rib cage. Feeling the breath lift the rib cage up under the shoulders, collarbones. filling up the whole lungs. And as we exhale, we let that energy go down the arms and legs, out the head, filling the head with light. Tucking the chin slightly in and opening the back of the mouth. The jaw relaxes, the tongue touches the tip of the roof of the mouth behind the teeth. Feeling the eye cavities opening, ears, nose, third eye. So with the in-breath, we fill our bodies with light from the objects of refuge. And with the out-breath, we just completely let go and relax. Eyes can be closed or slightly open. Imagine that we're breathing in the unconditional compassion and love and emptiness from the Buddha and Prajnaparamita, filling us with that. And then when we exhale, we just completely let go and feel that sense of safety and protection and relaxation. Extraneous thought comes, just see them as waves on the water, clouds in the sky. And bring your mind back to the sensation of breathing in the blessings and feeling that love and then letting go and relaxation. The other thing is to keep paying attention to the body, that you don't start holding your body in a certain situation. Allow the breath to continue to open and shift the posture. Notice any place where tension starts to come. Just breathe in that place, so that there's always an active attention to the body and the breath. Never not paying attention. If the mind begins to get dull, then rather than focusing so much on the lower part of the body, then we bring the attention up to the upper part, inside the head, and bring a lot of light there. In fact, we can imagine the whole body is filled with light, the blessings of the Buddha, Mother Prajnaparamita. Step, once we've somewhat settled in our relaxation, is continuing with breathing in the light and blessing of the Buddhas. This time when we exhale, not only do we relax ourselves, but we allow that sense of relaxation, ease and safety go out through all the pores of our body and touch all sentient beings, and give them also the sense of ease. Refuge, safety. Wishing them all to be free. Wishing them all to have love in their hearts. Wishing them all to be able to recognize the difference between virtue and non-virtue, and to be able to have the strength to carry that out. You can relax the stabilizing concentration meditation a bit, so we can't do it for too long, and we'll think about a little bit of analytical meditation. And begin just by rejoicing in our good fortune to have a perfect human rebirth. It's one thing to have a human rebirth, but a perfect human rebirth has certain qualities, mostly that we can practice Dharma. That's really all we need to know, is that we have the conditions. Of course, in the Lam Rim we have 8 freedoms and 10 endowments. And so we can rejoice that, you know, we're born a human. That means we weren't born, according to Buddhism, we weren't born as an animal or a hell being or a preta being or in the God realms, but we're actually here where we have just enough suffering to understand the nature of suffering and want to get out of samsara, but not too much pleasure, as in the God realms, where we having too much of a good time to want to think about enlightenment. So some teachers say that if that's too far fetched for you, you can see these qualities even in humans, you know. But we are able to see animals. And it's taught in the Lam Rim that because we know that we can understand certain things like emptiness or the value of compassion, then we can take Buddha on his word that there are other realms. So just rejoicing, take a moment to, you know, rejoice, think, wow, somehow I, you know, created the cause to have this particular time to be born in a first world country where things like food, clothing, and shelter aren't such a huge big deal as they are if we were born in sub-Saharan Africa or just a poor person, actually, anywhere, you know, or most of the countries in South America. And but it's really not country-driven, it's karma-driven, because there are people who have really difficult times, even in the first world, you know. And there are a lot of people who are born with physical defects, couldn't study if they wanted to, or then those fairly well-off human beings that just have these totally inveterate wrong views. There's no way they could ever go beyond thinking of themselves. And the fact that we were born in a time when there was a Buddha. There are times you can be born in a land where there's no Buddha, no Christ, no enlightened beings to teach us about how to really develop happiness by caring for other people, creating virtue, lessening our selfish inclinations. Because that is the door to happiness. And we're also born in a land, more recently, where there's Dharma. So we can rejoice that there are places like Land of Joy and teachers and people who've studied and people who wish to volunteer and generous benefactors. We're able to be here because of the kindness of so many other beings. Just rejoicing in all that kindness, all their generosity. Good fortune, rejoicing in that. And then we have, in the Lam Rim, they talk about the, you know, those who these freedoms that we have to be born again as a human with a good body and mind in a place where there's Dharma. We haven't created so much negative karma that we can't hear it. And also that we have the capacity to believe that the Dharma works. There are many people who might hear the Dharma just think, oh, that's rubbish. But there are those of us when we hear about it and we can think, wow, I think that works, and we are willing to try it. And we realize that we are more happy when we think about the kindness of others and how everything's interdependent. So then we develop a bit of certainty and joy and wish to preserve these teachings. And so we want to practice and be generous and give and share. These are all wonderful things. Our own, we can rejoice in the fact that we have that and that everyone in this room has that, and the Dharma is growing around the planet. And being grateful to all the Tibetans who endured incredible hardships to in Tibet and leaving Tibet and establishing the monasteries and living in the prison camp for how many years that was? 15 years, something. So many of them died. And even then they practiced thought training, which is why there's such strong practitioners today, especially the old ones. It's rejoicing, so wonderful. Again, we live in a land where the Buddha was here, where he taught, and the Dharma teachings are still alive, and people are still practicing. So we have a Sangha. And even now, beginning people who are willing to sponsor people to do long retreats, or retreat in general. Remembering, like I said last night, the money you give here isn't paying for yourself. You're sponsoring everybody else to do retreat. So the generosity we experience here, other than just having a business transaction, the best business of all is the Dharma business. The best profit is creating the cause for enlightenment. So how wonderful this is that we have this opportunity. Then we can go back to just our breathing, feeling the blessings, and make a request. May I please really make use of this incredible opportunity I have. One of my friends said once, it's like in the U.S. that they keep all the gold. That's the used to be the standard for the money. There's like, I don't know how many millions of bars of gold in this place. Called Fort Knox. It's kept in a fort. And he said it's like you're given a ticket to go in. You have 2 minutes to grab as much gold as you can. But there's at the doorway, you know, there's whatever it is that distracts you. You know, your video games, a pretty face, a nice movie, I don't know what, you know, four-course meal at an Italian restaurant. And for that 2 minutes, you stop and think, oh, maybe I'd rather do something else, and you lose your opportunity. So that's what we do all the time. All the time. We're distracted. You know. And it is totally possible to enjoy while we practice with Dharma. It doesn't mean we can't enjoy. But what we need to do, if we want to create the cause for enlightenment, is do what I said before. We need to have a really strong wish, a prayer, to develop the mind of enlightenment. And because of that, establish the habit of mindfulness and awareness, so that when we go to the restaurant, and when we go to the films, and when we enjoy our friends, we can still do it with awareness of what's going on in our minds. Still, we can do it with bodhicitta. Maybe we need to rest. Maybe we've been busy, so we can enjoy our rest. But we can practice resting with bodhicitta motivation. But what we don't want to do is go to sleep with our minds, because most of the time our minds are asleep and we're just following our instincts. Even doing virtuous actions, we're just asleep. And they may be creating the cause for, you know, a future good life, but to attain the state of enlightenment, it has to be mixed with bodhicitta and emptiness. To get another human rebirth, they say the cause of human rebirth is generosity and morality. So it's helpful to have the awareness to remember to be generous, you know, to remember to practice virtue. So we'll just spend the last few minutes of the meditation doing that, so we can go back to breathing in the blessing of the Guru, working on our mindfulness muscle. Creating the object of our mindfulness is this clarity, awareness, this empty body, breathing in the refuge, the safety, the blessing, and breathing out and sending it out to all sentient beings. Allowing ourselves to feel loved and protected as we breathe in, and just let go and relax as we breathe out. And again, sending the light rays out, You imagine all the sentient beings have everything they need to enter into the path to enlightenment. They all become Buddhas. So we just imagine all as far as we can imagine, beyond this house, this land, this national park, this island, Europe, North America, the whole planet, beyond the planet, the solar system, to the universe. All sentient beings everywhere becoming Buddhas. And again, rejoicing how wonderful that is. And then all these Buddhas dissolve back into us, bringing us even more blessings of happiness, feeling, safety, refuge, relaxation, contentment, calm, ease, just simple breathing. Relax the sense of I'm doing something, and just allow the mind to relax in its natural state, simple awareness. Thoughts coming, thoughts going, no subject, no object, just crystal clear space. Return to our kind of more normal way of being, and we'll recite the dedication, which is somewhere. By this virtue may I become Buddha. Forevermore.